but Jesus Christ. There is no other judge but Jesus Christ. There is no other way but Jesus Christ. You cannot escape him. You cannot hide from him. You cannot lie to him. You cannot bribe him. You cannot deceive him. You cannot put any plans against him and you think they're gonna prosper.
サムライだ。ユダヤというのは自分の正体を隠して背後から操ることを得てしている。決して表に顔を見せない。サムライの全く逆。サムライというのは日本人のサムライのことだけを言っているわけではない。どこ、世界各国にどこにもサムライがいる。アメリカの歴史を見れば、独立戦争を戦った人々はサムライだ。あるいは西部劇に出てきて銃を撃っていた連中も侍だ。当然アフリカの中にも侍がいるだ。だからこれから地上的には仕事が始まるわけだけども、地上的にユダヤを完全に屈服させるには世界中の侍が決起しなきゃいけない。彼らは恐れてる。例えば、
Never will I kiss that fucking wall. And Arthur Kwan Lee, in response to, just don't do Christ anymore. Don't paint Christ anymore. This is Arthur Kwan Lee's response to that.
I will only do this now. If you can't, you must.
Look at that. That is beautiful. By the way, ArthurKwanLee.com. Go to ArthurKwanLee.com. That would look great in this studio.That would look really great at my house, actually. Beautiful,
it's a beautiful striking painting. Icon painting right there.
It really is. I mean, look at that. That is just, it's like, wow. Stu, what are your thoughts on Brett Weinstein's Rescue the West rally in D.C. on September 29th? Weinstein.
Doesn't that say it all, my
Enough
friend?
Enough said. Weinstein. All right.
Enough said.
Later, the Korean merchants and store owners who own that shopping complex, they were talking to me for a moment. They said they were fed up. They walked away. Next thing I knew, they walked out of their stores. Three of them were holding guns, and they just started firing at everybody and anybody. Some of this to you live earlier. Then what happened? Apparently a car full of some young black kids pulled up on the other side and they started shooting back. You're going to start to see what they noticed what was going on. They started shooting back and we were right in the middle of it. It all happened so quickly. To tell you the truth, I thought they were blanks at first. I couldn't believe that these guys had actually pulled out loaded guns, but they were. There were bullets flying all over. And here you can see, this is where they see the cars pull up and they start to shoot back.They start to take cover, realizing, I think, what they had started there, but there's just a simmering point, and they boiled over. I saw it happen. I was talking to the gentleman. I saw it in his eyes. He ran away from me. I thought he was going to give me his business card. I had asked for an interview, and next thing I knew, as I say, he came out with those guns.
This is Magnus Hirschfeld, the first man to use the term transgender and the leading homosexual advocate of the 19th century, who argued homosexuality was an inborn and natural form of human sexuality that ought to be embraced. In 1919, he opened the Institute for Sexual Science, dedicated to campaigning for the spreading of pornography into schools and broadcasting homosexual propaganda films in Germany, highlighting cross-dressing and drag culture. Hirschfeld also was the first operator of sex change operations, brutally mutilating mentally ill patients and adding their genitalia to his personal collection of penis-enclosed jars around the world. In 1921, Hirschfeld teamed up with the most prominent and successful rabbis in Germany, including mega-patron Karl Abraham, launching the World League of Sexual Reform. They held a systematic platform on brainwashing the upcoming generation of German youth through a masturbatory curriculum with the written goal of making young German boys cheap prostitutes as a sign of cultural and sexual triumph. But in 1933, National Socialists took power in Germany, and on May 6, 100 students stormed the Institute of Sexual Science and destroyed his monument to degeneracy. Permanently closing the building and burning his grand library of pornography he planned to showcase to the German youth. Immediately, there was a halt and disintegration of drag queens, sex change operations, and the pimping of starving children. All of this is to say, history is written by the winners, and more often used as a tool to conceal important patterns they don't want you to notice. And all of the hysterics and delusion on gender we see today has happened before. Though the solution, therefore, might be the same, it may have to be thrown into the fire.
The question I wonder is after death, after my last breath, when will I finally get to rest through this oppression? They punish the people that's asking questions and those that possess. Still from the ones without possessions, the message I stress. To make it stop, study your lessons, don't settle for less. Even the genius asks questions, be grateful for blessings. Don't ever change, keep your essence. The power is in the people, in politics we address. Always do your best, don't let the pressure make you panic. And when you get stranded and things don't go the way you planned it, dreaming of riches, in a position to making a difference. Politicians are hypocrites, they don't want to listen. If I'm insane, it's the fame made a proper change. It wasn't nothing like the game, it's just me against the world.
This is Anton LaVey, the founder of the Satanic Temple formerly known as Howard Stanton LaVey. Unapologetic Jewish Zionists who revered the protocols of the Elders of Zion, who vigorously worked with Zionist extremist organizations to smuggle weaponry into Israel whilst committing mass genocide onto innocent lives in Palestine. So much bloodshed, so much innocence raped and pillaged, all in the name of religious superiority over the Gentiles. Understand this man writing the Satanic Bible and having the co-sign of this very demonic tome by Asaf Dayan, the son of Israel's Defense Prime Minister Moshe Dayan, is not just a coincidence, because there are two types of Satanism represented in the culture. First, we have the atheists LARPing and playing Dungeons and Dragons. This demographic is controlled opposition used to make crusaders like you and I laughably step back and jest. But there's a deeper, more unknown satanic spirituality that normalizes antinatalism, duplicitous sexual abnormalities, communism for the uninitiated, pedophilia, and the sacrificing of God's non-chosen cattle. And those practitioners worship at the altar of the synagogue of Satan. They lift their hands gallivanting towards the Tsar Remphan. With such sheer arrogance and entitlement just to mock good Christian families further into humiliation in their own country. Look, it's always good versus evil. Heaven and hell, Christ and Lucifer, and Christianity against Satanism. And the true Satanic Temple, my friends, is not about red horns and a pitchfork. That's what they want you to believe. True Satanism is ideologically subverting the populace with perversion to sacrificially fund sin, evil, whilst at the same time, by the way, undermining the very identity of those said people. Because Talmudic Judaism is a stepping stone towards Satanism. I was thinking about how everything that has happened to Germany before the Second World War in the early 1900s is happening to us now. And we're not allowed to talk about it. We're undergoing political, financial, and moral corruption through this Israeli mob who has successfully colonized our country by conquering every pivotal cultural pillar of influence here. From big tech, academia, Hollywood, entertainment, my industry, the fine arts sphere, real estate, and obviously banking.
That's 6% of the U.S. population who rejects Christianity, running the infrastructure of 80 to 90% of the narrative. In the 1930s, Berlin was an absolute degenerate cesspool of boys in drag, being prostituted and castrated, spearheaded by Magnus Hirschfeld and the other psychologists behind the Institute of Sexual Sciences, which was bankrolled by the same Jewish mob that continues to peddle pornography and wide-scale revisionism onto all of our classics that denote any semblance of proper masculine and feminine archetypal roles. And speaking of bankrolling, simultaneously as all this lasciviousness took place, the Rothschild Bank forced the German populace to live under the shadow of its usury and debt-based banking, crippling the economy into hyperinflation. Sounds a lot like what's around the corner with the Federal Reserve, right? We talk about modern parallels to Rome when trying to rectify monumental societal changes, but we actually don't even have to look that far. Hitler rose to power preaching for Christian values, preserving racial and national boundaries, functioning in a market outside the Rothschild debt-based system, like Bitcoin, and standing up against wide-scale degeneracy and immorality, to the point of literally burning the sinful collection of the Institute of Sexual Sciences. How did this happen? A class of powerful, fearless, influential, and based men who prioritize speaking the truth and standing up for what's right over financial security banded together as leaders of the country and rejected all of the toxicity. And that is why even though the Führer tried to call for peace, the drunkard puppet of the Rothschilds, Winston Churchill, forced Great Britain to strike first. Now think about it today. A primary role of their religion or worldview is the separation of the Gentiles and the chosen. And they own everything. They tell you what to wear, what to buy, how to act, and what to believe. Which is why once the Great Awakening is in its full force.
Lie to him, you cannot bribe him, you cannot deceive him, you cannot put any- time.
サムライだ。ユダヤというのは自分の正体を隠して背後から操ることを得てしている。決して表に顔を見せない。サムライの全く逆。サムライというのは日本人のサムライのことだけを言っているわけではない。どこ、世界各国にどこにもサムライがいる。アメリカの歴史を見れば、独立戦争を戦った人々はサムライだ。あるいは西部劇に出てきて銃を撃っていた連中も侍だ。当然アフリカの中にも侍がいるだ。だからこれから地上的には仕事が始まるわけだけども、地上的にユダヤを完全に屈服させるには世界中の侍が決起しなきゃいけない。彼らは恐れてる。例えば、
Never will I kiss that fucking wall. And Arthur Kwan Lee, in response to, just don't do Christ anymore. Don't paint Christ anymore. This is Arthur Kwan Lee's response to that.
I will only do this now. If you can't, you must.
Look at that. That is beautiful. By the way, ArthurKwanLee.com. Go to ArthurKwanLee.com. That would look great in this studio. That would look really great at my house, actually. Beautiful.
It's a striking
painting.
Icon painting right there.
It really is. I mean, look at that. That is just, it's like, wow. Stu, what are your thoughts on Brett Weinstein's Rescue the West rally in D.C. on September 29th? Weinstein.
Doesn't that say it all, my friend?
Enough said. Weinstein. All right.
Enough said.
Later, the Korean merchants and store owners who own that shopping complex, they were talking to me for a moment. They said they were fed up. They walked away. Next thing I knew, they walked out of their stores. Three of them were holding guns, and they just started firing at everybody and anybody. Some of this to you live earlier. Then what happened? Apparently a car full of some young black kids pulled up on the other side and they started shooting back. You're going to start to see what they noticed what was going on. They started shooting back and we were right in the middle of it. It all happened so quickly. To tell you the truth, I thought they were blanks at first. I couldn't believe that these guys had actually pulled out loaded guns, but they were. There were bullets flying all over. And here you can see, this is where they see the cars pull up and they start to shoot back. They start to take cover, realizing, I think, what they had started there, but there's just a simmering point, and they boiled over. I saw it happen. I was talking to the gentleman. I saw it in his eyes. He ran away from me. I thought he was going to give me his business card. I had asked for an interview. Next thing I knew, as I say, he came out with those guns.
This is Magnus Hirschfeld, the first man to use the term transgender and the leading homosexual advocate of the 19th century, who argued homosexuality was an inborn and natural form of human sexuality that ought to be embraced. In 1919, he opened the Institute for Sexual Science, dedicated to campaigning for the spreading of pornography into schools and broadcasting homosexual propaganda films in Germany, highlighting cross-dressing and drag culture. Hirschfeld also was the first operator of sex change operations, brutally mutilating mentally ill patients and adding their genitalia to his personal collection of penis-enclosed jars around the world. In 1921, Hirschfeld teamed up with the most prominent and successful rabbis in Germany, including mega patron Carl Abraham, launching the World League of Sexual Reform. They held a systematic platform on brainwashing the upcoming generation of German youth through a masturbatory curriculum with the written goal of making young German boys cheap prostitutes as a sign of cultural and sexual triumph. But in 1933, National Socialists took power in Germany, and on May 6th, 100 students stormed the Institute of Sexual Science and destroyed his monument to degeneracy, permanently closing the building and burning his grand library of pornography he planned to showcase to the German youth. Immediately, there was a halt and disintegration of drag queens, sex change operations, and the pimping of starving children. All of this is to say, history is written by the winners, and more often used as a tool to conceal important patterns they don't want you to notice. And all of the hysterics and delusion on gender we see today has happened before. So the solution, therefore, might be the same. It may have to be thrown into the fire.
Stressing. The question I wonder is after death, after my last breath, when will I finally get to rest through this suppression? They punish the people that's asking questions and those that possess. Still from the ones without possessions, the message I stress. To make it stop, study your lessons, don't settle for less. Even the genius asks questions, be grateful for blessings. Don't ever change, keep your essence. The power is in the people and politics we address. Always do your best, don't let the pressure make you panic. And when you get stranded and things don't go the way you planned it, dreaming the riches, in a position to making a difference. Politicians and hypocrites, they don't want to listen. If I'm insane, if the fame made a proper change, it wasn't nothing like the game. It's just me against the world.
This is Anton LaVey, the founder of the Satanic Temple formerly known as Howard Stanton LaVey, unapologetic Jewish Zionist who revered the protocols of the Elders of Zion, who vigorously worked with Zionist extremist organizations to smuggle weaponry into Israel whilst committing mass genocide onto innocent lives in Palestine. So much bloodshed, so much innocence raped and pillaged, all in the name of religious superiority over the Gentiles. Understand this man writing the Satanic Bible and having the co-sign of this very demonic tome by Asaph Dayan, the son of Israel's Defense Prime Minister Moshe Dayan, is not just a coincidence, because there are two types of Satanism represented in the culture. First, we have the atheists LARPing and playing Dungeons and Dragons. This demographic is controlled opposition used to make crusaders like you and I laughably step back and jest. But there's a deeper, more unknown satanic spirituality that normalizes antinatalism, duplicitous sexual abnormalities, communism for the uninitiated, pedophilia, and the sacrificing of God's non-chosen cattle. And those practitioners worship at the altar of the synagogue of Satan. They lift their hands gallivanting towards the Tsar Remphan. With such sheer arrogance and entitlement just to mock good Christian families further into humiliation in their own country. Look, it's always good versus evil, heaven and hell, Christ and Lucifer, and Christianity against Satanism. And the true Satanic Temple, my friends, is not about red horns and a pitchfork. That's what they want you to believe. True Satanism is ideologically subverting the populace with perversion to sacrificially fund sin, evil, whilst at the same time, by the way, undermining the very identity of those said people. Because Talmudic Judaism is a stepping stone towards Satanism.
I was thinking about how everything that has happened to Germany before the Second World War in the early 1900s is happening to us now. And we're not allowed to talk about it. We are undergoing political, financial, and moral corruption through this Israeli mob who has successfully colonized our country by conquering every pivotal cultural pillar of influence here. From big tech, academia, Hollywood, entertainment, my industry, the fine arts sphere, real estate, and obviously banking. That's 6% of the US population who rejects Christianity, running the infrastructure of 80 to 90% of the narrative. In the 1930s, Berlin was an absolute degenerate cesspool of boys in drag, being prostituted and castrated, spearheaded by Magnus Hirschfeld and the other psychologists behind the Institute of Sexual Sciences, which was bankrolled by the same Jewish mob that continues to peddle pornography and wide-scale revisionism onto all of our classics that denote any semblance of proper masculine and feminine archetypal roles. And speaking of bankrolling, simultaneously as all this lasciviousness took place, the Rothschild Bank forced the German populace to live under the shadow of its usury and debt-based banking, crippling the economy into hyperinflation. Sounds a lot like what's around the corner with the Federal Reserve, right? We talk about modern parallels to Rome when trying to rectify monumental societal changes. But we actually don't even have to look that far. Hitler rose to power preaching for Christian values, preserving racial and national boundaries, functioning in a market outside the Rothschild debt-based system, like Bitcoin, and standing up against wide-scale degeneracy and immorality, to the point of literally burning the sinful collection of the Institute of Sexual Sciences. How did this happen? A class of powerful, fearless, influential, and based men who prioritized speaking the truth and standing up for what's right over financial security banded together as leaders of the country and rejected all of the toxicity. And that is why even though the Führer tried to call for peace, the drunkard puppet of the Rothschilds, Winston Churchill, forced Great Britain to strike first. Now think about it today. A primary role of their religion or worldview is the separation of the Gentiles and the chosen. And they own everything. They tell you what to wear, what to buy, how to act, and what to believe. Which is why once the Great Awakening is in its full force.
ユダヤというのは自分の正体を隠して 背後から操ることを得てして決して表に顔を見せない侍の全く逆。侍というのは日本人の侍のことだけを言っているわけではない。どこ、世界各国にどこにも侍がいる。アメリカの歴史を見れば、独立戦争を戦った人々は侍だ。あるいは西部劇に出てきて銃を撃っていた連中も侍だ。当然アフリカの中にも侍がいるだ。だからこれから地上的には仕事が始まるわけだけども、地上的にユダヤを完全に屈服させるには世界中の侍が決起しなきゃいけない。彼らは恐れてる。例えば
Never will I kiss that fucking wall. And Arthur Kwan Lee, in response to just don't do Christ anymore, don't paint Christ anymore. This is Arthur Kwan Lee's response to that.
I will only do this now. If you can't, you must.
Look at that. That is beautiful. By the way, ArthurKwanLee.com. Go to ArthurKwanLee.com. That would look great in this studio. That would look really great at my house, actually. Beautiful.
It's a striking painting. Icon painting right there.
It really is. I mean, look at that. That is just, it's like, wow. Stu, what are your thoughts on Brett Weinstein's Rescue the West rally in D.C. on September 29th? Weinstein.
Doesn't that say it all, my
Enough
friend?
Said. Weinstein. All right.
Enough said.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the roundtable. Subscribe to my channel at Arthur Kwan Lee. Hit that notification. Sorry, I just had to rush back here. A lot going on behind the scenes here. Hit that bell so you can know when I'm going live. Let the people know. Please share. I'm banned on all these mainstream platforms, as I have to always repeat, because I can't really platform myself and let the people know. So, you know, I greatly appreciate it if you can let X and all these other platforms I'm not allowed to be on know where to find me. Send me your super chats on my personal Rumble channel if you'd like me to answer any questions as well. Search Arthur Kwan Lee with no spaces and look for the laser-eyed Asian guy. So there's plenty to go over today, guys. Lots on my mind, but I'm also running on pretty low sleep due to this commission I'm painting of Apostle Paul. So I probably won't run too long, but I was up until 4 a.m. last night. So thank you guys for tuning in. You know, I appreciate it. We're all crusaders and carrying the cross together and here at the roundtable, you know, talking about whatever is the central theme hyped about here in Clown Town after all. And I was supposed to upgrade my mic, right? This is why I've been running around. So the quality is not as choppy here because I'm just using my headphones here. I know it's a little bit low res, but the employees at both Micro Center and Best Buy, they weren't Asian, so they misinformed me, and I've been chasing my tail since then, trying to get this figured out. I bought all the right equipment according to, what was his name? Raquan. He even quickly retorted that he has integrity and is educated about these matters when I just asked him, like, are you sure this is compatible? You know, this is compatible with my MacBook. But this fucking idiot had no idea what he was talking about. I literally almost got into a fight with a Best Buy employee over a question. You know, who are these people getting hired for these customer service positions, by the way? But I guess this is America here. But yeah, you know, after spending all day trying to upgrade my sound quality, I just ended up YouTubing this Asian guy about simple solutions, and he had all the Amazon links in the description section. So it's on its way. So thank you for bearing with me in the meantime. I know the audio quality can be better, so I do appreciate it. But I have been working with Jamal's and Yamanika's all day, so things can only move so fast, right? But anyways, there's so much e-drama at center stage lately, and it's both hilarious yet unfortunate. You know, people can't step back, and I talked about this on my last show. They can't step back and fight the mutual villain at, you know, at hand in front of them. You know, I've always said that we're all in this car heading towards a brick wall at 100 miles per hour, and we're fighting about the seating arrangement. And that's basically what's always happening with this e-drama. You know, like, on one hand, no one cares about the radical useful idiots on the left. You know, when they come at us, we sort of expect it, and ultimately we just understand it's something to be ignored at this point, right? But it's really the infighting, once again, that does run me the wrong way, because it's just so gay and childish. And I'll say that I've been up and down all around in this liberty movement of the social space. And through this movement, I've been invited to debate some very large named leftist streamers and some of these personalities, along with some relationship podcasters and many conservative ink influencers. And some of them had millions of followers as well. But I really never like accepted the challenges, and many people who are in my position, who've been boxed out, who desire larger relevancy in this space, would have probably jumped at the opportunity at the drop of a hat. And the reason is because for me, like, I'm not putting up an act, guys. You know, I'm this transparent romantic painter who is willing to be vulnerable and open to give the people my unfiltered raw reaction every time. And like I said, the essence of what debating is in this age is really more about who can sink lower and produce more consistent gotcha moments. It's totally a circus for the defeated masses to pile on. And if you think, you know, I know some of you will retort, oh, it's because you're afraid of these people, as if they can knock down my logical worldview like a house of cards due to their passive-aggressive little quips. You're simply not seeing my point. We should totally understand that what is debating in 2024? It is all about fully utilizing both direct and implied language in such a way that creates a narrative, moral, and intellectual superiority. And in other words, it's all bad faith dialogue. And frankly, I just think all that is beneath me, right? Because those of you who know me understand I'm perfectly willing to offend for the sake of the truth every time. But what I will not do is entertain these lowball insults that are designed to consent to experiencing the same self-hatred that my opposer has for himself as he masquerades in this Napoleon complex. That's what's going on here. It is purposefully sensational, and for the most part, you know, normie audiences will probably find it scintillating, but I don't want anything to do with that, right? So if that's their wavelength, fine. But there's literally zero desire to solve any problems and reach solutions amicably. So let's just be real about this, okay? And all of these debates are like pretty much, you can tell when you step back, it's pretty much for the low IQ masses. They're just trying to find like these highlight moments of savagery, right? And I just want an audience who gets it. And that's the essence of the roundtable here. I don't want it to be an echo chamber, but I want like good faith conversations, even when there's disagreements. That's basically the only kind of conversations and dialogues that I'll have with any of these speakers. And that's why every time I've been invited to any of these influencers, I had to step back because I know what they're trying to do, right? And I don't need to waste my time with these losers, right? And if you have to dedicate yourself with those kind of strawmans and ad hominems, your perspective is at best immature. And I don't even want to mog you at that point, right? I'll just be here painting my masterpieces as a Korean Chad. And I say all this because nobody really exemplifies this further than that dysgenic cuckold that is a radicalized, ZOG, filleting, and fast-talking know-it-all bad faith actor, Destiny. Right? I don't even know his real name. But anyways, I can't use my my X app on my phone. So to stay like current on these matters, I pretty much rely on what people send me. And I saw this hobgoblin of a man spiraling down faster and faster when he was debating Owen Schroyer. He's like in this publicly induced spurging out state And I think it's basically an autopilot at this point. Guys, talking fast does not mean anything if you're not connecting any dots in the process. When I see him on stage, I watched the debate. I can tell he like truly believes this will impress anyone over the age of 16 years of age. And it's actually kind of sad. Like, if any of his debates had moderators who were fair and measured, they would have to repeatedly like tell this blue-haired faggot to stay on topic. Like, if you pay attention, he doesn't say anything. Myron Gaines is like the only person who more or less can reel back this self-destructive sex addict troll. And I'm saying this like, and I know they're good friends, by the way, but the one time he actually had a moderator, being Myron, he got pilloried. Constantly the interjecting of random character attacks, grandstanding and shoving his head further into his own ass at every opportunity. And it's really sad. And the point of this is that it's not just destiny. You can say the same about all of these liberal influencers and Connie. You know, we all saw Dean Withers get pummeled by Nick Fuentes. Really no different than destiny, actually. And I was talking to my friend, you may know him, Matt Kim, another base Korean, worth a follow. And destiny's name came up, and in a high regard as well for his debating prowess. And I have to disagree. I think all these guys have the same exact strategy, regardless of the subject, whatever they're talking about at hand. All they want to do is fill the space with this intellectual grandstanding. It's like pure entitlement, that hasty knee-jerk like answer and reaction only to feel their delusion of wittiness, right? They're just trying to trick everyone listening that, wow, look how quick he is, right? Albeit, it is literally just that. It's just a barrage of empty talking points and $5 words in this word salad with the goal of making everyone feel that the world is actually ultimately in the lens of relativism. That's really the goal. Let me just make everything look like it's relative. You are just as bad as me. Actually, you're worse because rather hypocritically, I should add, you are tall and handsome and articulate and had an active relationship with your father. That's all that's going on. It's just pure envy. And when you look past the insults and the facts that, you know, these people don't actually have a goal of having a conversation. They just want internet savagery. You realize that these are just broken people, right? And again, it doesn't really matter who we talk about. It could be, you know, Dean Withers or it doesn't matter. Like, it's just this, there's this strange fusion of like Ben Shapiro meets Bernie Sanders. You know, they're just repeating this mantra that if I talk fast enough, maybe the room will fall for my false intellectual framing. It's such bad faith, and I personally believe that all of us should not platform or give these people any more attention because they're just morally bankrupt. With Destiny in particular, like, the reason why I'm mentioning him is that, you know, the guy got his ass kicked and handed to him so badly by the same guy, Nick the Knife, chicken and watermelon eating Nicker, that he went on a fucking tour just to double down for his Israeli simping. Like, I'm not sure why no one talks about this, by the way, but the guy gets totally demolished and proceeds to go on Lex Fridman, Ben Shapiro's Sunday special, sits down with that overrated, quaking mess, Jordan Peterson, on and on and on with these conic establishments, which goes to show, by the way, that the establishments have never cared about the truth by platforming this pedo face. He gets his ass kicked so badly that he had to do an entire podcast circuit to make up for it and cope further. It's pretty demented stuff we're talking about here, actually. But again, like, the focus isn't on destiny. He's just an indicator, right? It's all of these bad faith actors. He's just the biggest one. He's our best one after all, right? He's the biggest faggot of them all, I guess. You know, with his disheveled complexion and degenerate demeanor. But all of these people are vampires. Cenk the water buffalo. Tariq. Reparations Nasheed. The porn peddling Krasn fags. Zionist Darren Beatty. Ethan the Bridge Troll Klein, Crybaby Jordan Peterson, Little Benjamin Shapiro, Gad Sad, who I don't even need to roast him because his name already is pronounced sad. But I can go on. They are all entitled and demonic. They are know-it-all clowns that have not only sacrificed nothing, but are making all the money in the world deceiving young people into furthering their sexual abnormalities. Betrayal onto their own home. Making them invert all that is sacred and a total denigration of one's historical and cultural accomplishment. They're pretty much there to contaminate and taint the youth, right? And it's all this spirit of entitlement. This is what I'm seeing. These people are like the most useful of idiots. They are like the stars of idiocy. Having all the materialism in the world, yet having nothing they would die for. Meaningless and empty people. I guess they're just trying to distract themselves with the excesses of Babylonian accomplishments to avoid the anxiety of just sitting in a room quietly alone with their thoughts, right? Because why else would a person act this way? Because if the kingdom of heaven is within and the Holy Spirit communes with you when you are silent and your consciousness has the opportunity to settle, why not instead flat out just don't want to engage with any of these ideas or have a conversation entering your framework then, ever, right? And meanwhile, there are those who are actually God-fearing who will happily enter their frame under a good handshake of good faith to have this conversation. Which, by the way, Destiny literally refused to shake Owen Shore's hand at the onset of them walking on stage. So I mean this quite literally, not just psychically, right? Not just psychologically. There's a real mental illness going on here with these influencers. And these people they're winning, right? They're platformed, they're rich, they're successful, they're famous. The dysgenic and antinatalistic demons are celebrated in the dominant narrative. And they're patronized. And you look at guys like me, Stu Peters, Nick Fuentes, Ken O'Keefe, Jesse Lee Peterson, Matt Kim, Myron Gaines, Lucas Gage. I mean, we can go on and on. Like, we have to work 100 times harder for a fraction of the earnings and a fraction of the support. And these people are winning in their personal lives. Like, they're certainly winning, even though it's at the expense of their soul. But it is still an exemplary display of how backwards our world really is. And in these people's world, just keep in mind, women have nothing to offer but sex and marriage, you know? But sex and marriage is no longer worth it, right? And the woman will just extend her adolescence. In these people's world, women are just good for sex, essentially, which is essentially true today. In these people's world, church and familial ties are less important than bar hopping and getting intoxicated, which is true based on how most young men act today. Video games and pornography take precedent over actual sexual intercourse and martial arts, which is true to young people. And keep in mind, when I say true, I mean that the majority accept this as worthy and desirable at a normalized degree. So when I say they're winning, I'm saying they are normalizing their values further than the people on the right side. So they're successful as ZOG influencers. This is my point. They're winning. The women today do suck. The older generations are giving zero guidance and only talk shit to the young people about how much better they are. The dollar is beyond inflated and losing its worth annually. The artists who are venerated literally worship the devil, and the government is designed to enslave its own people. Absolute madness and disorder. So they are winning because their goal of what they're trying to normalize in the culture, they are getting. You can call it what it is, even if they get their asses kicked, but what is the populace still following? Jewish platforms, right? Anyways, here, let me not get hot and bothered here. Let me see what some of you have to say about this here. I was watching these debates and I just saw this consistent pattern. Destiny is a plant and is used by the machine as an agent of chaos to brainwash sad people. Absolutely right. Guys, make sure that you send your, you go to my Rumble channel if you want it to pop up on my screen, because otherwise I have to switch screens here. Leatherman, looking good. I appreciate it. You know, speaking of Jewish platforms, I was also thinking about how, I don't know if you guys saw, that Nick Fuentes just signed with Kick. And I don't know what you guys think about Kick. I honestly actually don't know. Like, I see that Nick will be on there. I love Nick and want the best for him, but how long do you think he'll stay before he gets kicked out? Like, he literally just lost his verification right away, you know? Or do you think he'll focus on, like, lifestyle content, like gaming and cultural commentary instead? I mean, I love that for him because he's a real nigga, but isn't Kick woke? Like, I hate to be pessimistic, but I don't think the window of conversation has shifted proper to be ready for a reality pill like Nick Fuentes. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope so. But, I mean, it's good for him nonetheless, as even if he does get deplatformed, it just proves our point. And if he gets to stay on, either way, it's good because then it's just another huge pipeline. So it's great that he's doing it, but I'm not sure what to think of the platform itself. I'm talking about, like, I don't know much about Kick, right? But I don't know. I just heard bad things. Like, aren't they responsible for creating, like, all the biggest young influencers like Neon or XQC, Jack Doherty, you know, all these kind of people that you'd never want to be in the same room with? Like, aren't they all celebrities? That's just kind of my point, you know? I think it's, again, it's a way for disgusters, you know? All the child e-celebrities that promote grandiose attention-seeking at the cost of their integrity are all born from this platform, right? And I think Nick is too good for that personally, but if it does bring more light to America First, I guess it's a useful pipeline. And Aiden Ross, as a Jew, has been pretty down to earth. And he's open-minded for a Jew, I guess. But, you know, you got to be careful with all that. And I think he owns like 30% of Kick. And he does like Nick. So I guess we'll see. But what do you guys think? Because, you know, I was thinking maybe I should multi-stream on Kick, although I will probably get kicked, you know? But maybe I'll get in trouble for calling women evil and gays, you know, homosexuals, pedophiles. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's a waste of my time. Just a thought here, because, you know, I'm in no man's land with all of this, guys. You know me, right? But anyways, there's a lot of drama on the online world as usual. You know, I mentioned earlier Myron of Fresh and Fit earlier, as he is really the only moderator that comes to mind who is fair and true. Like, he's legit. But I see there was, like, this back and forth between Fresh and Zerka. Some of you are sending me this. And again, like, this is a display of priorities exhibited through this infighting once again. The infighting in and of itself is high school and teenage girl drama. But again, I'm talking about this in passing. I haven't dived into it well. But it does sound like Fresh did the backstabbing first. And I feel like Walter wants the podcast to be focused on sitting at a table full of women and living the pseudo-rapper lifestyle. This has been my two cents also. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not saying he's a bad guy. But I think Myron is such a very loyal person, clearly, which is another reason why I like him so much. But, okay, I don't want to dive too much into this, but I did think about this briefly before I got on, and I did realize this is a display of genetic determinism a little bit. You know, physiognomy, as I said, never lies. And I always repeat this for a reason, right? A person's height is a solid indicator of their confidence level due to the fact that they literally have, like, a stronger frame. Reality will give them this feedback that they are less vulnerable than other people when it comes to, like, taking risks or taking damage. And a person's face tells you about their character and temperament. And I'm saying all this because, honestly, if you had to distill physiognomy, genetic determinism, and the black pill, which are things that I have an expertise on as an artist who has a mastery of aesthetics, the simple adage would be that one's height determines their confidence and their face determines their personality. And I'm really saying this because I juxtapose Zerka and Walter here. Zerka is like 6'5", and he has a very pronounced jawline. Walter is 5'9", and he's very spherical with this bell pepper nose. So, and I'm not trying to be insulting. I'm really not. I'm just saying that, you know, like, I'm not that much taller than him. But my point is that when you're looking at this fixation on looking like a high networker and wearing these excesses of luxury, it just feels incredibly compensatory. And probably useful as a red pill coping mechanism to much of the audience. But I don't know. That's my breakdown as a person who focuses on aesthetics. And usually all the good guys have at least a decently developed bone structure on their face. And I'm talking about the ones willing to step on stage righteously, right? Like, if you haven't experienced positive feedback for your genetics when growing up, of course you will compensate and prioritize feeling in, like one of the cool kids to try and make up for lost time. And I can't help but feel that that is a big part of the aura between this conversation. Like, there's this reality here that should be salient. And I'm not even going to be too specific about this beef, but if you go into any metropolitan city with a decent nightlife and you see this phenomena of grown men wearing thick diamond chains and sunglasses at night, this is unfortunately another side of human nature, right? And looking at it from Fresh's perspective of facial analysis, of course he is going to be avoidant of risk and places pleasure over purpose, right? And I'm not saying I'm holier than thou and Zerka is not necessarily a saint as well, but we're talking about what type of narrative a man wants to placate further based on the structure that God gave him genetically, right? That God bestowed upon him. So that's what I was thinking about. Because, you know, I always break things down aesthetically. And that was the thought that came to mind. I'm like, Zerka and Fresh are arguing here? Well, I always first look at genes. And then, you know, because it kind of tells you about the story before it really starts, right? You know, I was just talking about Destiny and all these other influencers. David Pakman, another little weasel. All of them, they look very weak for the most part. I mean, you know, some of them, you know, they might have a decent frame, but I'm saying in regards to like what displays their discipline and who they are as people, they don't look like disciplinary people, right? And I mean that from like a facial analysis, but that's just me being aesthetic here. Let me see what Chad has to say here. Am I being harsh here? I think Kick is all right. Kick is mainly a gambling pipeline. Really? Kick can say anything. Seeking validation with whores and cars. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, my biggest problem with the red pill is so many people in this movement is they still define their masculinity based on the opposite sex, basically validating them. Like, if we're going to learn anything from the church fathers, it is that women are basically evil. Like, women are evil. Like, why are we defining, you know, like, what is going to make me a holistic, honorable, strong, righteous man? Well, it's not female approval. Like, women are evil. Like, I'm not saying this as, like, a bitter, hateful guy. It is a reality. Women are possessed by a serpentine spirit. The only good women are the ones, only wise women are the women who basically find a man to submit under. And that's the best they can do. I know it's a harsh, uncomfortable truth in reality, but this is my issue with the red pill. They need to always validate themselves with, frankly, peacocking ideals that are based on impressing women who have to wear a cake full of makeup to be attractive. But like the actual attractive women who have angelic facial bone structure, they don't really care about that. They will care about that as they age out. But like the women who need makeup to be attractive, they're going to have that transaction with the men who need men's makeup, which is status and money. That's true. The red pill works on not naturally attractive women. Fair enough. But that's not what we want. So we should stop telling men to fix it on that. We should be really telling men to fix it on their diet. That's what a lot of these red pill people don't understand, that like making people care about their diet is more important than making them care about like status and even money. I know that sounds like cope, but trust me, even more than money, it's important to take care of your health and not even working out. Diet. Diet will get you the most attractive woman. And most people just don't understand that. If you have a good diet, your skin becomes amazing. Your health indicators are going to show them, it's going to give them biochemical signals of virility. Like, that's more important than saying, yeah, you know, look at the hundreds in my wallet. Then, like, that's making up for it. That's what people don't understand. We got Arthur Kwon Lee of the Sacred Bone. I don't know what that means, brother, but I appreciate it. Yeah, we're not going to fail. We just have to stay on it, you know? But I don't want to focus on e-drama too much here because there's a lot of things I was scrolling X. You know, I can scroll X, but I have to use my computer. I can't use my phone because my IP is banned. But I can use my computer, and I'm not going to bother letting people know. This will be just for browsing. And I did see something disconcerting. You know, let's get back on track here about more serious issues. Donald Trump was coming out as a pro-genital mutilation for minors. Like, I mean, he said it in passing, but he said as long as their parents have their consent. And I think that's evil. Like, isn't the most basic metric in a rudimentary standard for what makes a man the protection of the innocent? Like, isn't that, like, at a basic level what we define of who's a good guy? In other words, one of the main purposes of being a man is protecting children. Why is this man publicly saying that children can consent to sex changes? Like, can this guy get any more Jewish? And you can say, oh, but he was talking about this in passing. Defend, you know, this was, he's a common sense president. That's what he was saying. Don't be so dramatic. No, fuck no. I don't care if he was in passing. This should not be coming out of his mouth. If he's supposed to represent us and show who, like, and he's trying to show that he cares about the parents, not these teachers that are brainwashing our children, that he should not even be leaning in that direction. So when I saw that, I saw all these infighting comments saying, oh, you're being so sensitive. You know, and I'm like, no. You know, and this just goes to show, it doesn't really matter who's in office as long as AIPAC is running the show. You know, these retard losers who want to live the lives of their complacent boomer parents so desperately, they just don't understand, right? And this goes way beyond that Bloomberg interview that I saw on X, okay? It's Trump is pushing the GOP harder to the left, further than any right-wing candidate in American history right now. And when anyone flip-flops that hard, it shows the man was only going where the money was, actually. Like, that's all it's telling me. He's 180 degrees. Like, he's looking like a total freak that deserves to lose. And he won't lose, by the way. He's 100% going to win. Like, I'm not, like, those of you who are Trump-tarded, he's going to completely win. The GOP's got his back. So he's going to win. But all that said, again, I don't even care because the bar can't really get that much lower, right? Like, we all voted for Donald Trump in the past because he was an alpha white billionaire who was fighting for American sovereignty and identity. Now he is pro-Israel, pro-mass immigration, pro-abortion, and it sounded like he was pro-LGBTQ, as, you know, as he was always retorting about the gay people he's hired and how pleasant they are. And then you dumbasses repeat to me, yeah, but Kamala's way worse, bro. Not really. You know what I mean? Donald Trump has fallen from grace so hard. I don't even care if a black woman is in office, which is pretty much as bad as it can possibly be. It's bad enough that these schools today are socially transitioning our children without the parents' knowledge at a like regular rate. But as a leader of the Republican Party, who is supposed to therefore represent the voices of the parents, you tell them to bow down to the synagogue. I don't care if it was nonchalant. Again, I do not care. You can talk about this casually. It's still wrong. And the implication towards our youth, that's still evil to me. So that was fucked up. All of this talk about, yeah, well, you know, he's going to be stopping usury even when he gets in. He's just playing good with them right now. I'm like, I don't believe it, man. Like, a real alpha male would come up on stage and say what he believes in regardless of the consequences. That's what it always is. The only defense, and this is only going to mean if he's really playing 4D chess, which I seriously doubt. I mean, I wish it was the case, but the only defense is if he's actually fooling everyone because there's so many strings he needs to play with to get in, and then he's going to distort from the inside out. But I just don't think so, because he's already accepted $10 million checks from multiple people. Like, it's locked in. So I don't believe it, guys. I know there's some Trump lovers here still, but he took Miriam Adelson's money. You know, do I have to break this down further? So yeah, I mean, you know, this is only the fourth roundtable. This is only my fourth show in, and it's been pretty much black pill every time. But I can't lie to y'all. Like, I know we all see the same thing. We all see what is going on. Trump just looking for new patrons. And guys, if you guys want to on Sue's chat, if you want me to see your chats, go to my Rumble channel, because this is really where I'm focusing, because my screen setup is different. I have to basically move things here. So, yeah. No one can serve two masters. That's correct. No Way Bro is drinking Harmless Harvest. Is this bad? Tell me. I just drink only coconut water. I pretty much only drink coconut water. Like, my entire fridge is coconut water and like high quality butcher meat. That's pretty much all I eat. Is this bad, chat? Okay, I don't know. Maybe y'all can. I'm here to learn. I'm here to learn. If this is bad, then I won't do it. Yeah, I don't know if I agree with you. I see a lot of you saying that he's playing 4D chess. I don't believe it. I don't believe he's playing 4D chess because he's. You got to follow the money. And if you look at how he's kowtowing to literally the people who write him a check, he'll go on stage. You know, like, he was just recently in Atlanta and he's just being all Israeli first. Like, it's very, sometimes when there's smoke, there's fire. Usually when there's smoke, there's fire. I hate to disappoint, but I think we should be focusing on having a conversation on what a Trump era as a traitor looks like. That's pretty much what we should be talking about at this point. Arthur, you are the shit, bro. People are waking up to the Jewish side. We are committing. Thank you, brother. We're going to look at Sue's chat here now. Thank you all for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. You know, I can't be anywhere else but Rumble. So thank you to Rumble. Yeah, I need Chris to sign me here, man. y'all should let him know. I really do. I would greatly appreciate it if, because I can't be on these things. If you guys can let the people know. Let them know to find me here. Clip the highlights. Post them. How can I still be on X? You guys can support me because I pretty much can't. But unfortunately, X is where the action is. That's just the reality. So, Trump is a Jew. A lot of people saying Trump isn't Jewish, but he's, you know, if you're, look, like, Trump is being just like Destiny, I'll tell you that. That's a hell of a comparison, you know. All these people who are white Gentiles betraying their country, betraying the cross, betraying Jesus Christ for the synagogue. This chess thing is massive cope. Absolutely. If any of you actually believe that Trump is playing like this 4D chess, look, I hope to be proven wrong, but my ass, like, come on, guys. Like, he's already accepted all this money. Trump is not our leader. He's barely even pro-life. Yeah. You know, I mean, guys, I'm sorry, but Elon Musk and Trump, they're not, I don't know if they're really on our side. You know, we got to be real. Like Nick said, if Kamala ruins America, we get our American Hitler. Like that. Good enough reason for me. I mean, I'm not saying to vote for Kamala. Like, that's stupid too. But the point is that, guys, everything political and economical and sociological, it's all contingent on moving the normalized discussion. And when they own all the mainstream legacy media apparatus, unfortunately, I'm going to go with my boy William Blake. William Blake once said that a fool who persists in his folly will become wise. In other words, there's two ways that our country is going to wake up. Number one is by listening to insight and having leaders that are directing us because they are high trust and they care about the people. We are far too down the pale for that. The other way is you fall on your face. You know how this guy's going to realize his shoes are untied? He falls on his face. There's two ways to really learn. As I say, you can learn the easy way or the hard way. Guys, easy way is done. The easy way is not happening. Embrace for landing. Let's be real. I can't lie to y'all. Come on. Like, that's not going to happen. I'm not saying it's going to be dystopian chaos and cars on fire in every urban city you go to. It's always gradual. All of it is gradual until a tipping point. Even, like, I hate to use a Rome analogy, but it is true. How did the Ottoman Empire, who had an army 1/15th of the size of Rome, take it down? Because it was a tipping point. They fell from the inside out, little by little. All the women were whores. All the men had no desire to fight. The testosterone was getting so low, they were eating the worst diet possible. Because of the synagogue, by the way. That's historically proved. And they basically put their guard down. It's the same thing. There's going to be a tipping point. It's never suddenly. Things get so bad that they basically fall over. And that's basically where we're at. But what we obviously want, because, you know, we still have young, innocent people, obviously. What we want is before it completely tips over, it's going to have to get bad. It's going to have to get bad. You know, kind of like the LA riots or George Floyd riots at a couple more spots, but not even based on some liberal psyop. Totally based on just people just thinking they can get away with anything, insulting and burning down churches, targeting kids and normalizing sexuality in schools for our kids, and just causing mass property damage and hating white people, like at a normal rate. As everything becomes blasphemous, then perhaps the people will wake up. And it's funny, every time I say this perspective, they go, oh, so you want the world to burn? No, of course not. But that may be the only thing that can wake the people up, you know? Yeah, exactly. We need a complete redress of government. Guys, share this video, by the way. I have to really ruminate on these things. Like I sit and I think for hours about this stuff, you know? And I can't even share it on X. I can't share it anywhere. I am the most banned person right now. It's crazy. It's crazy. And I'm getting tired of it, honestly. Like, I was just talking to, you know, I know the whole squad there. They're just like, dude, X is a pipeline to Rumble. So you don't have the pipeline. So you just have to hope that your audience lets the people know. Your man is here fighting by himself. All these other groups, all these Muslim influencers, and obviously the Jews and lefties, they're out and they're just out there and they have all the support. They're getting supplies, rations. I'm just out there with a sword and a cross by myself like this. Like, I'm just by myself fighting. You know what I mean? Like, everything I do, it's just solo. The lesson in my whole life of being Sisyphus, pushing up this boulder, 60K followers, boom, nuked. 40, boom, nuked. 30, boom, nuked. Let me go to X and said, boom, nuked 3 times. The lesson has been, I'm always on my own here. It's just me against the fucking world, as a Christian should be. But if enough of us can understand that, then at least we can fight as brothers. But it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. Like, you know, there's no pipeline here for me. I thought this was good coconut water, by the way. King Arthur here needs his Merlin. Yeah, I'm kind of like a Merlin too, though. There's a book called King, Warrior, Magician, Lover. And essentially, it's about different male archetypes that we should integrate to be holistic men. And every man has to exercise all these parts of his mind, every facet, to be holistic and fulfilled. To be holy is to be whole. If you want to actually be holy and fall and be Christ-like, you need to be whole. In other words, you need to be a king, which means a leadership position. You can be a father. You can be a leader of a movement, some kind of leadership position. There's the warrior. Obvious thing that comes to mind is martial arts, but some of you are in the military. Some of you guys just lift weights in that regard. That's touching it a little bit. There's a magician, which is like Merlin, which is being an artist, creating beautiful things, being a painter, being a sculptor, an artist. That's the magician. And there's the lover. There's a person who's integrated with his romanticism. Not hookup culture, not this red pill thing. A person who is willing to admit that the reason why all these men in the red pill space are trying to notch up a body count high is because they're actually afraid of intimacy. And they're afraid to admit that what they really want is female affection. But because they can't get it for not being integrated as people, they'd rather compensate by saying, I've slept with this many people though. Yeah, but none of them love you and want to be with you. So it's to be an actual lover and not understand that's not gay or whatever you want to cope with. By the way, as they insult them, the people they call gay often are, they're just jealous of them. You notice that? Like, I got to say, so often, whenever I hear this insult, whenever I see this interaction, oh, dude, that dude's just being gay. I'm like, no, they're a husband and wife who, like, deeply love each other, faggot. You know what I mean? It's just, I just have to say, like, I got my gripes with the red pill, too. You know? Because I see a lot of it as male feminism. Feminism is obviously the greatest weapon of the ZOG, but I do have issues because red pill goes as hard as it can in the other direction as well. And they don't admit that the real problem is that we're using people as emotional punching bags because we're afraid of actual intimacy. And they're not actually admitting that what we all want is affection from the opposite sex. But they don't want to admit that because, you know, that it's going to make them have to grow up and forgive whatever past trauma they had. And that's hard for a lot of people, right? But without forgiveness, you can't actually go forward. That's the thing. So to be a fully integrated person, you need all of these qualities. I obviously, for the most of my life, I'm exercising the magician archetype. So it's funny that my name is Arthur because I'm really more of a Merlin because I'm literally painting for like 6 to 8 hours a day. I told you I'm painting that portrait of Apostle Paul right now. That's all magic. You know, people think of magic with like bunnies getting pulled out of a hat. No, the archetype of being a magician is basically being a creator, being an artist. So I'm mainly a magician, but obviously, like, you know, I've won a lot of national medals in martial arts, so I had the warrior thing down. I just have to become a father down the line, exercising the king archetype. And obviously, that's going to be integrated with the lover archetype. But I will say that my perspective on being a lover is way better than most because I don't practice and exercise and participate in this degeneracy that is hookup culture today because I'm integrated. But yeah, men are simply not holistic anymore. And it's kind of a shame because if we're going to win this, we need to become complete men first. And I just don't see it. I just don't see any of it at all. Getting bad means you're over the target. Yeah, it does. But at the same time, it's really annoying because, like, you know, it's kind of better to get banned once you're in like a financially stable position. But I can't help myself. I just can't help myself. I understood Jewish elitism when I was an undergrad. And I was just like, should I? And then I fucking nipped it. You know, like I didn't understand it to the degree that I had now. But I noticed, man, there's a lot of Jews. You know what I mean? Like I still noticed that. So it doesn't pay to be over the mark, unfortunately. You know? Like, look at Lucas Gage. That guy's clearly over the mark. If, you know, when I was out hanging out with, and this is when I was still being careful and social camouflage a little bit, thinking about my career, and I said, no, fuck that. The truth is more important than anything. I'll lose anything for the truth. But when I was hanging out with some of the Conservative Inc. people in D.C. and going to cigar clubs and all this, like names that you people would know, I was getting groomed to potentially be like, hey, why don't you become like our Asian guy? And you're also an artist, and maybe we can work that angle. Like, interesting. And I realized right there, I'm like, okay. I burned the bridges in the art gallery world. And now I need to build and start over. And here's another opportunity to blend in and get absolute security. Like, it's sounding like a good deal here. Nah, I'm going solo. The truth is more important than anything, nigga. Fuck that shit. That's just, I realized that's just how I'm built. I don't know, guys. Like, it's crazy because, like, I've walked away from a lot of money on the table because I don't give a fuck. I don't give, like, I obviously I got bills to pay, but do you believe in God if you're just like kowtowing to Babylonian fiat currency? Then you have to mince your fucking words. You know what I mean? So I can laugh. Obviously, I do have to be careful. You know, because like if some, let's say after the election, X is like, you can have your platform back, Arthur. Go for it. I gotta wash my ass because, you know, I might get nuked again. Because there's things I'm thinking about now that I'm not gonna talk about. Because I will get attacked. Like, there's things that I'm just being honest. There's things that I think are over the mark to even the base people that I don't talk about. I had so many tweets that I wrote and saved that I never posted. Because a lot of people just, I think they would be offended. But I think when they're probably like 15 years later, they may get it. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn here. That's not my point. It's that I fucking swim in this ocean. You know what I mean? You may like Black Pill Podcast. His most recent episode showed out using censorship law shut down how America was being infiltrated in the 1930s. Yeah, but you know what's funny? Like, I have so many of these people's numbers. Like, a lot of the people who are based in this liberty movement, I'm talking to a lot of them every day. I would say, and I'm not kidding, 80% are afraid to have me on. Most of them, I appreciate them. They're important for actually making people able to have open discourse. But for the sake of free speech, you know, like I've literally talked to multiple producers of pretty big shows. And they say, yeah, I just wanted to reach out to you and saying, I'm sorry you lost all your shit. You know, we believe in you. We love what you do. I'm like, well, then let me get on blah, blah, blah's name. And they'll say, no, I, you know, maybe when things simmer down, maybe after the election, I hear a lot of this kind of talk. And I'm like, you know, if you are a crusader like me, you don't really give a fuck. It's about the truth. Fuck it. Like, the truth shouldn't really, like, if anything, you should look at the truth in an impersonal way. And then you could be personal about it. Because I understand these things matter because we're talking about galactic subjects that do permeate onto how you identify and what that means for the future of your kids. 100% you should care. But when you're having discourse, keep it impersonal because, you know, these aren't character attacks. We're talking about what you can't control and we're talking about, you know, who is lying to the people. We're talking about genetics and deception. At the end of the day, if you have wits about you and if you're practical, that doesn't affect you on a day-to-day level. You still wake up at the same time. You still get to have steak with your dad. You still get to, like, on a day-to-day level, doesn't really matter, but it does matter in regards to creating, like, ordinary principle for you to fight for something. So in a way, it deeply matters, but it also doesn't. But I just find it odd that a lot of these platforms, I would say most of them are afraid to have me on. And it's crazy. It's crazy because I'm like, I'm a fucking painter and I'm just speaking my mind because I saw what the Jews did to the art gallery world. And I think they're going to do the same thing to actual Western society. And I love this country and I'm a Christian. That's pretty much where I'm speaking from. Not that complicated. But I also, I don't know. Fair enough. You know, this could be a strategic error on my end. I get it. Because they saw what happened to me over and over again. I just keep getting nuked. You know, so fair enough. You know, by having me on, I don't want them to lose financial opportunity. I get it. Some of them are running a business. So it's wild, but notice who will have me on. Right? That is worth mentioning, by the way. Okay, let's have a look here. Let me go on Stu's network here. I gotta dive in here now. The collapse needs to happen for the cross and Dolph to come back. Yeah, who would we want as Adolf, guys? Tell me, who would we want as a second Führer? Tell me. Who would you want to be the Führer? Let me see if you guys answer this correctly. I got my things in mind. Nah, Jesse Lee Peterson's a real nigga. Y'all are so funny. Yeah. Has to be Romantic Warrior King. Yeah. I just wish that men were more honest today. It's just about honesty for me. You know, like, I was honest on my last show, and I posted my rant. I end up just, like, coding my entire rant, and I can just put it into my Substack, which is pretty dope. I just have to go over it. And I was just, I published that. I was saying, like, look, I don't see me getting married anytime soon either. I want to. I understand the issue. But the state of the majority of females are just so bad. And even when you meet a good one, you need to trade the lifestyle you have for that sacrifice. And I'm just being honest. You know, I'm just being honest about it. My stomach goes, ugh. You know, I'm just being frank. And a lot of people, well, then you're not really based. I'm like, what does based mean, faggot? Okay, does it mean I need a fucking Cowtown listen to you? Based means Christian, race realist, recognizing that women are evil, and unapologetic. That's based, okay? You don't have to have kids as fast as possible. I encourage it for many people, sure. But my thing is that what I just said, those four qualities, those four different sectors of what it means to really be based, which is basically saying understanding sex, understanding race, understanding the spirit, and not apologizing about it. Well, you don't, I mean, you know, you can be married to the game, I guess. I guess that's my cope. I don't want to get married so quick, guys. That's what I'm saying, you know. All right, guys, it's 10 o'clock here. I'm going to probably wrap it up shortly. Base equals women are evil. Believer of Christ, race realism, not being a bitch. Yeah, more or less what I'm saying. I mean, women are evil. You know? Like, you know women are evil because you can go to a woman you love. Like, you can, you know, like, you can, like, look at your own mother, and if you say, like, even if she's sweet to you, you can be like, you're evil. That should go crazy. Women, they cannot help but have this spirit where they just want to control you. This is just the way women are. And that is evil. Because women don't, I'm being honest here, and a lot of you might get offended for this, and the prettier they are, it's a lot worse. But the more, anytime a woman shows you, like, help or like, this, like, desire to, I'm trying to help you like this, none of it matters unless it's under submission. A woman can only be useful when she's submitted to a guy, and she can be useful to the family then. Outside of that, I don't care. Workplace, I don't care about her degrees and competency. Women are helping you for their self-aggrandizement. When a woman is not under a submissive role under a honorable man, it's impossible for them to be helpful. It's impossible. When they're helping you, they're getting their way. They're actually finding ways to manipulate you and put their actual fingers into your claws, into your back. Because they have the serpentine spirit. People just don't get it. Here, I'll prove it to you right now. Let me see if you can see this here. Can you guys see this whiteboard here? What does that look like? Women have the 2X chromosome, right? Well, doesn't that look very similar to the star? You know, that's why they actually have it. The reason why the Jews use that star, the Star of Remphan, which they call the Star of David, is because it's actually, they created it aesthetically from the 2X chromosome. Because they're an incredibly feminine spirit that possesses them to do all this. Because essentially, the feminine spirit is based on relativism. And that's what the Talmud is. The Talmud is all about morality is not right or wrong. The Bible has something called the 10 fucking commandments. It says, I know you guys want me to curse. I know some Christians have been messaging me. Sorry, I'm just speaking bluntly. It says it's right and wrong. Christ says, do not do this. This is okay. You know, it's very hard line. There's lines that should not be crossed. Boundaries. The Talmud is all about what can I get away with? Keep in mind, every time you hear people justify the Talmud, these Jews, they always say, well, it depends on the pretext and the context. Have you noticed that? So it's not that pedophilia is bad. You know, it depends on the context of pedophilia. It's all contextual. Isn't that exactly how women argue? You catch a woman cheating, she starts crying and starts blaming you. Relativism. Melt this into your head, imprint this. The spirit of feminism, the spirit of Judaism, they're the same place. Relativism. Okay? This is why their book has a Promethean model of spirituality. It's based on transactionary value. What can I trade with the spirit world for self-aggrandizement in a material sense? That is a Talmud. That is similar to the woman being tempted in the garden by the serpent. I don't hate women. I probably get more female attention than most of these influencers as well. And I'm not going to tell you who's been in my DMs. But my point is that the female spirit is never going to give you the wisdom, the true love of God the Father. The only place you will find peace, the only place you will find solace and contentment and true happiness is by returning to the Father, which is above. So women are evil. I mean, I'm just being honest. Women are evil. And until you accept this, you're a simp to me. I don't care if you have a harem of chicks. I'm an OnlyFans manager. All these girls, they give me all their money and bend over backwards for me when I ask them to, and they're all hot. I don't care. Do you understand women are evil or no? No, they're not evil. But what about the good ones? Okay, I'm not saying that they're not likable, but you understand that their nature is that of the serpent, right? Like, you understand that, right? If they don't, they're a simp to me. Very simple. They are chaos embodied. Yeah, it's actually deeper than that. It's not like, oh, I got a daughter, she's evil. That's not what I'm saying. It's more so that they have a spirit, they have the spirit of Lilith in them, right? It's all about emotional confirmation and attention for them, even at the expense of integrity and what is right. That is the problem. That is the real problem. That's my point. Their inferior soul must behave in a feminine way through deception, backstabbing and being fake, crying out while striking you. Yeah, Jews and women are actually the same thing. Everyone always tells me about how, oh, you know, black people are the biological weapons of the Jews. I'm like, yes, I understand the clergy plan. Believe me, I've done long reels and I've done deep dives in it to people, okay? I've J-pilled an entire generation. I get all that. But really, women are the bigger problem. Women are like the biggest like weapon, more than any of this, because in order for any of these people to be utilized, the ZOG is first sublimating female sexuality. It's contingent on that, right? So feminine degeneracy and relativism is hand to hand with the Talmud. And the reason why we're saying this is because if you understand how connected and close they are, like these 2X chromosomes here, what does that say? Well, if we understand that Judaism is actually a stepping stone to Satanism, You know, what about the Jews who are just in New York who are living in peace? I get it. Fair enough. They may not be in the know, but hear me out. If that is the case for these people who are elitists who get into positions of power to utilize with that philosophy and training to exercise evil in a relativist perspective, if the female spirit is that close to that, isn't that evil? Isn't that evil? That's my question. Isn't that evil? I see some people defending it. Oh, you hate women. I don't hate women. I don't hate women. Maybe you're just a simp. I'm just being honest. Look at this guy. There's some people here defending this. Oh, gosh. Well, listen. You can prove me wrong, but I will say, like, all the best women I've known in my life, they don't like women. Like the base women don't like women themselves. You know what I mean? Like, think about the most difficult woman. They're the more educated. They get the most attention. They have larger social media followings. They get more attention. So the higher up a woman moves up, and Redpill actually gets this correct. They have less viability for dating options because they don't know how to date up, so it gets smaller market. But the higher they also move up, the more deceitful, the more manipulative prowess you actually give them. Like, to me, that's evil. I'm sorry. Because I judge a man by how he handles temptation and how he would handle power. Right? I don't know a lot of real niggas like me. And I say this because, like, when I was in New York, I would have art exhibitions regularly on gallery storefront, bottom floor, big windows, my art, 150 people, half of them are chicks. And I didn't exercise degeneracy. I don't know a lot of people like that. A lot of people say, oh, I'm like that too, Arthur. I would hope so. I would hope so. A lot of people say they are until they actually have the temptations. In order for you to actually be a voluntary celibate, you need options to walk away from. A lot of people are saying they are, but they're actually unfuckable losers who just want to identify with a different variation of being an incel. Like, tradcons are basically right-leaning incels hiding as that movement, right? But my point is that men have this ability. I'm not unique. Men can understand what is right. They can have every temptation and say no, because I've seen it happen to many men. I don't know if women can do that, is my point. Only way they can is if a man catches them early enough, imprints them, because they're very pure, so they can imprint them proper, and she lives under his guidance. That is the only way. And otherwise, I don't think it's possible. You can get mad at me. You can get offended. You can be a simp. You can defend it. This is my opinion. I think women can be so when they're under submission towards the honorable man. That's the only way. That is the only way. My argument is that a woman can only really find God if the man is finding God. The man is a channel for the woman to find God. Women are literally possessed by the serpent spirit, and they can't even have a relationship with God until they find a man who has a relationship with God. Harsh black pill. By the way, I'm just scratching the surface of what I can't talk about, because it gets deeper than that. And you can get into the actual art history and symbolism that was left by us by some of our masters in the past. Because they talk about this with more symbolic detail. But look at these fucking people debating me. Wow. Oh, anyways, guys. I think I offended a couple of you. Sorry. But the bottom line in what I started all this with was all of these figures, all of these influencers who are essentially traitors, right? The real issue is that all of these figures are traitors to America. I don't mind the actual enemy anymore. I see all of these tiny hat anti-Christian sewer dwellers putting the black cube on their head. I see the Tengu. I see all the Tengu. So be it. I see all you fucking Tengus. Come fight the samurai. Fine. You know? I have learned to love the taste of blood. Let's fucking go. That's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. The traitors I have a problem with. Because the traitors, well, I'll invite one to my studio and they might stab me in the back or steal a painting. I got a problem. I got a problem with traitors. I don't have a problem with enemies anymore. And this has sort of been the lesson with everything. The political space with Trump betraying us, cucking to AIPAC, all this Israeli cucking. Everyone who says they want to support America, but then they talk shit about white America. Everyone who's an instigating Fed, who's pretending to be supporters of the movement, but they're actually agitators and bringing it to a very low class level. They're all traitors. And they know what they're doing. That's why they're traitors. If they're ignorant, I'm like, okay, you really believe in this and you just misled. Okay, you got to talk to me. Fucking call me. Right? That's one thing. But when they don't answer my phone after somebody connects us or whatever it is, and I actually text them saying, hey, this is Arthur Kwon Lee. I think you know. I think there's a lot of traitors here. And the biggest traitors are the ones who are in public who are dedicating themselves to confusing the youth. All of them. Destiny, Withers, Krasn Fags, Pac-Man, the Young Fags, all of them. They're all faggots. They're all useful idiots. These are the exact people Yuri Bezmenov was talking about. And they all, to put a nice bow on all this, they're all possessed by the feminine spirit. They all believe in relativism. They all don't believe in the cross. The cross, by the way, is a very, very specific symbol for a reason. Right? I was fucking drooling because it's coconut water. The cross is very specific. Boom. In a hill. There's no relativism in that, which can scare some of these losers, but isn't that the point? Leave no room for argumentation. Isn't that what monotheism is? Well, obviously they don't believe in God. But yeah, this is the problem, you know? Us honorable men are trying to stand up for the cross and do the right thing and protect women, but these women just want to betray us. Okay, guys, I'm gonna leave it at that. I didn't get any super chats. Damn, I'm doing all this for free. So I'll leave it at that, guys. I do appreciate all of you tuning in. Please let the people know. I gotta build back up. I'm forever over the mark, and I'll probably be always this way. But until then, y'all real ones, and I appreciate y'all. God bless.
Lie to him, you cannot bribe him, you cannot deceive him, you cannot put